Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning, everyone. Our reading today is from Acts 1, verses 6 through 11. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward the heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward the heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the good news of the Lord.
Well, it's been said for me, but I'll say my name is Jeff Lust. It's great to be here. I get to serve as one of your pastors. And you heard right. The last name is Lust. That's correct. That's what it is. So I usually go by Jeff. Right? I go by Jeff. So feel free to call me Jeff or Pastor Jeff or whatever. I tend to not use my last name so much in the congregation. If you must know, it's a German name. And actually, in Germany, it's pronounced Lust. And it doesn't mean exactly the same in Germany as it does here. It just is what it is. So feel free to call me Jeff or whatever. So this baton is very important to me, not only because of this transition of leadership for the church, but when I was in high school, I ran track. I was a sprinter, and I ran on the relay. So I was on the 4x100 and 4x400. So to me, there's a very important meaning to what this is, because this is something, it never hits the ground. I mean, it was one of our rules, but the stick never hits the ground. And we would carry it around with us at track meets, we would carry it on the bus, the idea was it never hits the ground. And so I take that very seriously, of what it means to have this baton now as your next senior pastor. I take very seriously, now having said it, I never hit the ground, I'm going to lay it down because I'm afraid it's going to fall and then make noise. So I'm going to go ahead and just lay it right there. So it'll be back. I take very seriously that notion that Paul talks about in Corinthians when the Corinthian church is kind of at odds. They're arguing and fighting about things. And one of the things they're fighting about is, I think they didn't use exactly these words, but it was the same idea. Well, you know, I came to this church under Pastor so-and-so, and I think he was the best. Well, I came to church under this pastor. He's the best. And they were arguing about that. And Paul said, you folks are missing the point. He said, "I planted, Apollos," one of the other pastors involved, "watered, but God provides the growth." And so I'm well aware that whatever good things happen here are because God provides growth. And that there's been a lot of planting and a lot of watering that has been done over the 20, almost 2 years this church has been here. I'll do some planting and watering along the way, and there will be some harvest here and there, but I'm well aware that always those are seeds that were planted before my time. And so I look forward to doing the planting and watering with you here. And so I'm the next person with that baton. Now, in the time of transition, I know there's a lot of heavy lifting that has to be done. And the leadership team, I had to have extra meetings and all kinds of conversations around that time. And then often, some of the people who are working very hard in the transition are the staff members. And they are having to pick up slack and having to sometimes answer questions when they're accustomed to somebody else answering it. And they're having to cover bases, and so the staff has done a lot of heavy lifting, and I so much appreciate what they've done. They have done a great, great job to prepare for this time. So I very much appreciate that. I have heard it said that in the United Methodist Church, when there's a pastoral change, it's kind of like being a widow one week and forced into an arranged marriage the next. So you got me. So we'll see. We'll see. So this scripture passage is one that I thought was an important one for us to look at today. Now, I know, having said that, if you were here a few Sundays ago, this might have been a scripture that was read and preached on, because it's typically done on Ascension Sunday, the Sunday before Pentecost. And so I'm not trying to replace that, not trying to, I'm just using it today for a very particular reason as we look at this story in the book of Acts. I'm just going to recap it a little bit, because one of the things I like to do is just live in the narrative for a little bit and really pay attention to what was said and how did people really react, and just feel that for a little bit. So here Jesus and the disciples, they've been together for over 3 years. They've seen his miracles. They've seen his teachings, heard his teachings. They've seen his interactions with people. And they've seen him be betrayed and arrested and tortured and executed and then raised from the dead. So they've seen this Jesus all along. And as Jesus has been making these appearances post-resurrection, they get to this point in Acts that is recorded by the writer Luke. And they ask Jesus, is this the time that you restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, so think about that for a second. Why ask that question, right? I mean, their whole history for hundreds and hundreds of years is, you will have a promised land. But you know, when the Assyrians kind of took the northern kingdom in the 8th century and before Christ, and then the Babylonians come along and take the southern kingdom, and so now for hundreds of years, it's not been their land. And now the Romans are here. Is this when it gets restored to Israel? And then we can get rid of those pesky Romans? And Jesus' response is important to note. I think he said it in kind of a snarky way, to be honest. I think he said, hey, dude, that's not for you to know. Okay, he might not have said it that way, but I sometimes think Jesus replies, if you read it in a snarky way, it comes across really well. It's not for you to know. God is God. You are you. God's going to know things you don't know. And you got to get comfortable with that. So it's just not for you to know what the Father has set, the times and the seasons, that God's going to do what God's going to do. It's not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, they were asking for power, weren't they? They were asking for power. They were asking for political power. They were asking for might, because we can run those Romans out of here. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you can be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That there's a point to this power that comes from God that's not about us. It's about what God intends. Well, that's where I get this notion of purposeful ministry together. Purposeful ministry together. Now, I'm going to talk about all three of those briefly today. We'll talk about those more in the weeks to come. But as I do that, I just want to make sure I'm really clear that this is not like a three-step process. You know, it's not like, year one plan is purposeful. Year two plan, no. This is all mixed together like any really good soup, right? I mean, you have all the different ingredients of the soup, but what makes it great is all together. You can't then, after it's cooked, you can't then separate it out and say, well, I just want to get rid of the flavor of the chicken. I'm going to take the... Well, no, guess what? The flavor's still there. And generally, it's better the second day, right? Isn't it always better? I don't know why that is. So I'm talking about these in terms of that they all kind of float around together all the time. So I think it's important to see what we do as being purposeful. Purposeful. You know, there's a difference between energy and power. I learned this a long time ago. I served a church in Albuquerque for a number of years, and we had a lot of people in that church who were connected to Sandia National Lab, Air Force Lab, Los Alamos Lab. And one of the experiments that was done 6-7 years ago that was a success was the Air Force had a 747 with a laser mounted on it that shot down a dummy missile off the, in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California. The director of that project was a colonel who was a member of my church. And for the success, he made general. And they promptly shipped him to Afghanistan. Kind of what happens. But I learned a lot from talking with some of those really smart people that you know, energy can go all over the place, right? Energy can go all over the place. But when you take all that energy and you focus it and you aim it and it creates a result, well, now you've got power. Now you've got power. Over the years, I've heard many people in many churches say things like, we just need some more energy around here. We just seem to run out of energy. We're looking for some young people to come to our church so we can get some energy. And if you're a young person, be very, very careful. Very careful. We have a lot going on. We're expending a lot of energy, but it feels like we're spinning our wheels. And in a lot of churches, that's what's happening. The energy is going all over the place. Well, how do you start to focus that? Because, man, when you all start going in the same direction, you experience a power that is beyond us. It's beyond us. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, when we think about power, so often we think of power in a negative way, right? The abuse of power, the corruption of power. When we think of power in regards to people, we think of it in negative ways. When we think of it with an athlete, well, that's great. When we think of it in cars or trucks, that's great. We think of it with a person, and we immediately assume abuse and corruption. Well, so often it's because we think of power in terms of what it will do for me. How will power improve my life? What advantage, what leverage will it give me? But the important thing here is that Jesus said, you're going to receive power, but it's a power to fulfill God's purposes. It's a power to live out this life together in a way that accomplishes what God intends. There's a big difference between in power and having power to accomplish. Focused, directed energy that produces an outcome. Power. That's purpose. That's what we talk about when we're talking about purpose. How do we have this purpose of a focused energy? Well, we do purposeful ministry. Ministry. Now, I felt a call into ministry when I was 17 years old. It was the summer after my senior year of high school. I grew up in a very faithful Christian family. My dad was an engineer. My mom was a homemaker most of my growing up years. And they were very dedicated church people. But the important distinction was they were very committed Christians. And because of that, they were dedicated church people. There's a difference between being church people and being committed Christians. Now, what you want is for those to come together. I saw it lived out in an authentic way day after day. My grandparents, farmers, very committed Christians. So I got to see this day after day. We're very involved in the church. And it was a summer, that summer before my senior year of high school, and I don't know if they conspired to do this or not, but my youth director and a pastor separately both asked me to fill in for them on the same Sunday. So I was going to teach the senior high Sunday school class, and I was going to preach and worship the same day. Well, in the midst of preparing for that, I just had this peace. This is what I'm supposed to do. I had wondered all along. I thought I was going to be a coach. I thought, other kinds of... No, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. So I felt that very early in my life. I've come to understand that God calls everyone into ministry. It'd be more precise for me to say I felt my call into ordained ministry the summer of my 17th year. But God calls everyone into ministry. I don't mean everybody has to go to seminary, be a preacher. No, no, no. We all have a ministry. God's given all of us, through the Holy Spirit, the power, the insight, the gifts, whatever it takes to fulfill a ministry of some kind. So everyone in this room is called to ministry. So what do I mean by ministry? Let me give you a couple of examples. At the church I served in Albuquerque, there was a guy in the church named Fred, sweet guy. He had some physical handicapping conditions, spoke with slurred speech, sometimes a little hard to understand him. Mentally, he was fine, but physically, he had some severe challenges. And when I first met him, he would walk with those crutches, you know, strapped to his arm. But it wasn't long until he was in a wheelchair most of the time. But what I learned was, years before I had gotten there, he had taken it upon himself to get with the membership secretary, and he got a list of everyone in the church and when their birthday was. And so every morning of the year, he's getting up early in the morning and looking at his list. Whose birthday is it today? And he calls them and says, "This is Fred. I just wanted to call and wish you a happy birthday." Short conversation. So on May the 12th, I'll pause while you mark your calendars. May the 12th, my first year there, 8 in the morning, the phone rings. I answer it. "Jeff, it's Fred. I just wanted to call and wish you a happy birthday." Well, now, it took 10 seconds, you know? It didn't take long at all, but what a great feeling. And then I thought of people. What about those people out there who are recent widows? What about people he calls who are single adults? They've been through divorce. What about those people who have lost a job? And they get a call from Fred on their birthday. Friends, that's ministry. That's a ministry. Now, it doesn't just have to be, obviously, just within the congregation. Tell you about Dave. Dave is a successful attorney, just started off on his own. Now he has his own firm. He's done very, very well in Albuquerque. But he is a very committed Christian and talked about with me lots of conversations about trying to find his ministry. What does it mean to do ministry? And he did some things in the church, but he wanted to do something he felt like was made a difference in someone's life in a very tangible way. And so he got down to realizing, you know, I really have a heart for the poor. I really have a heart for the poor. And he said, especially all those days I'm driving downtown to the courthouse and there's all those homeless people I see. And he said, but I know I don't want to just give them cash. And he said, actually, I never carry cash with me. So one day he was in Costco and it just hit him. He's shopping and he just buys a couple of cases of bottled water and some of those giant boxes of protein bars. And so generally, every time, if he sees a homeless person, he stops his car and hands them, he said, "I don't have any cash, but I can give you something to drink and something to eat." Now, that's a small thing, and Dave does other things, but for him, that's a ministry. It's a way of tangibly expressing his discipleship in ministry to others. That's ministry. But it's not just to do ministry on our own. It's about doing ministry together. Purposeful ministry together. But I mean, after all, that should be in your language, right? That we are to come together, grow together, serve together. Hopefully you've seen that. You're familiar with those terms. Come together, grow together, serve together. Together. That there is something to do in individual ministries in the context of your daily life, that this is just important to me to give that water and protein bar to homeless people when I see them. But there's also something to us joining our efforts. Joining our efforts in a focused, directed way that creates an outcome. And so as we come together to do those things, some important things to think about, to consider. A frequent conversation in churches that I've been around for a number of churches, is should the church be led by the laity or led by clergy and staff? I bet that's never been asked in this church. But it gets talked about in some places. And I used to answer when they'd say, "Jeff, which should," and I'd say, "Yes." And I'd talk about the different roles and purposes of the different parts of the body. But then one day it dawned on me, this is a false dichotomy. There are two ideas that people put in opposition to each other that are not intended to be opposed. And so I began to answer, "Jeff, should it be laity or clergy and staff led?" I say, "Neither one." "Well, who's going to lead?" To which I say, "Well, if I understand the scripture correctly, but I may not. But if I understand it correctly, the Holy Spirit is the leader. The Holy Spirit's the leader. So it's not my church, it's the Holy Spirit's church. And it's about discerning and understanding where God wants us to go and then aligning our lives and our activities and our energy in that way. Now, I'm not saying there's no role for human leadership. There is. I mean, clearly the Bible also talks about roles of leadership among those set apart for ordained ministry as well as those in lay ministry. Clearly places for human leadership in all of that, but always under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So that we're going where God wants us to go, and doing what God wants us to do. A great image for that, I think. I used a sports analogy a while ago. I'll use a music analogy. When you listen to an orchestra, symphony, there are a lot of different instruments, right? A lot of different kinds of sounds, and they're not all playing the same note at the same time, right? Playing different, but together, it's beautiful. Now, in that orchestra, there are first chairs of the various sections. There are people who are leaders of their section. But then there's the conductor. And they all pay attention to the conductor, which I would say would be the Holy Spirit. Listen to the conductor. What's the conductor call us to do? What's the director, lead, conductor doing? And one of the important insights about that I heard several years ago, who is it? Who's the member of the orchestra symphony that never makes a sound? It's the conductor. It's the conductor. Never makes a sound. Everybody else is making the sound. I think God can do amazing things in the church. We may not hear audible voices. We may not see visions. Once we align our lives and our efforts with the Holy Spirit, God can do amazing things in and through us. That doesn't mean we'll always agree with each other, we'll always see things the same way. No, there will be times we disagree, times we have to have spirited discussions. Sure, we got to do that. But as we continue to align our lives with the purposes of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will experience a joy and a fullness of life that we can't experience any other way. I look forward to doing that with you. Let's pray. Oh God, we're grateful for your presence with us. We're grateful for your leadership. God, we believe you've led us here today. We might be aware of it, we may not be aware of it, but you've led us here. You will lead us from here into our lives, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, the gym, the store. May we be those extensions of love and grace into the world around us, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, people will see and experience something in us that's not from us, but is from you, a gift that we have received. We thank you, God, for today. We thank you for this period of transition that we've all been going through, coming to this place today where we come together so that we can continue to grow together and serve together. All this we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.